Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir, reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Guys podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate. And
just take a direction and move out, and things will happen, and you can make modifications at that point. But if you have active contracts, you're more likely to be given a chance in an area where you don't have any capability, simply because you've shown that you know how to bring workers to work on time, to do value-added work, and to manage your contracts wisely.
But somebody's got to, you have to start somewhere, right? That's where the old adage of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You got to learn sometimes, so you got to get in there and just move out. Try to figure out, you know, one direction. If you need to revector, right? I mean, stop, change directions, move sideways, whatever you need to do. I try to tell people not to move backwards, at least too far, because then it just takes a while to get caught up again. But
yeah,
I don't know. Interesting.
Well, I think you always learn from those things too. Like Doctor said, you know, take that job, go forward. You're going to learn something from that, whether it's the actual job or with regards to contracting in general and how all of that works. You know, as we talk to a lot of these small companies, a lot of the companies, Some have an idea of how everything occurs, but a lot of people don't. And even guys that are, you know, in the industry, say you were in the military and you're transitioning to wanting to start a government contracting company, you don't really know how it all works until you do it.
Yeah.
And even then, it's different every time. But.
Well, just like, and I've said this on this program before, one of my favorite sayings is Thomas Edison, right? I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work.
That don't work. Yeah. So you continue to learn. And that's important. And the unfortunate thing is, too often we compare ourselves against this really high performing capable company. And oftentimes we don't see, you know, they have that story out there about 10,000 hours of practice before you're an overnight success. And the Beatles, you know, they were playing all kinds of places all around Europe, and they just were an unknown, but they were learning. They were honing their trade. Their trade and their craft. So you will find a company that shows up and you know everything is right. They have the product, the service, the delivery mechanism that meets the need, that has a high dollar ask, and the government's willing to pay for it, or a prime's willing to pay for it, and boom, that's wonderful. But all too often, when you really look at these successful companies, and you find out that when you're doing business development, you find this company because 5 years ago it got a subcontract, you know, over here at Miss LaFence Agency or something. And you go, wow, I just found them. And then you do a history and they were founded 20 years ago. You're like, what did you guys do for 15 years? Well, I gave my house a second mortgage 3 times. you just work it. Like you see, work it and work it and work it.
So when I pulled that up, one of the other Thomas Edison quotes out there, and he says, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time.
Yeah. You know, it's same thing in golf, right? A putt that's short will never go in. It won't. So you have to put a little bit
unless
more
you're in
into
California,
it.
You can have an earthquake.
Well,
or something.
Yeah, but again, that's those kind of companies like I was talking about. You know, but for the earthquake, that putt would have never gone in.
Yep.
but for having being at the right place with the right product at the right time. But how do you know you're the right product in the right place at the right time? You're out there. You have to be out there. And out there doesn't necessarily mean that you're, you know, the old BD thing, right? You're at lunch and playing golf. Yes, a lot happens at meals. Yes, a lot happens on the golf course. And that's because if golf course is 4 hours, 5 hours of conversation with somebody, and you can tell them your ideas, and you can tell them, hey, be brutal. You know, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm right. You know, and it's a real value add point of time. But to your point also about never turning down contacts and whatnot, when LinkedIn was starting out, a lot of people were like, well, accept everybody's invite, you know, and other people were like, I'm very selective. And I can see both sides of that story because you have to know how much time you've got to spend on your business. Because one of the things that drives new businesses crazy is just the amount of work that business needs. It's a business is a maintenance activity. You have quarterly, annual, monthly. And if you're doing payroll on a biweekly, so you've got a CPA, a lawyer, you know, you've got all of these outside agencies. You're responding to Secretary of State, or when Sam says, hey, your update is due. When you move, we just moved. The number of people that I'm still sending my new address to, it's just, how many hours am I going to spend doing this? And so you have to figure out what tasks that you need to do and where is the value of your time? And not that you are more valuable, but the time related to exactly what it is you're supposed to do. So if you own a company, you're responsible for its strategy and its growth and its operations. And you have to learn how to delegate. And you got to learn that quick. And delegation sometimes means family members help out. And sometimes it means, part-time employees. And there's a whole industry of part-time employees out there that can help you with everything from answering your phone to, you know, files, paperwork, you know, brochures. And that's the thing that in these small business communities that I really enjoy seeing is like, well, I just started my business and I went on to, name a company, got my URL, and now I'm building a website using such and such. And someone says, you know, for $500 or $1,200 or $5,000, I can build your simple website, because you're just trying to have a presence. You know, you're not trying to blow people out with this extravagant website. And that's the other thing you got to learn is you don't want to spend a lot of money on things that don't add value to your mission. And you get this glorified idea that I'm going to own a business and I'm going to have a nice car. The business will pay for this and I'm going to this and this. And it's like, yeah, but at what point are you, you know? So one of the adages that I read a long time ago was the first year you're in business, pencil and paper, write it down. Don't use a spreadsheet. And because then you're daily going in there and you're having to see the numbers on a day-to-day basis, you begin to get a feel for the money side of your business. And it can be daunting at first, but the other thing it is that it's securing, because as I said, you have that communication with yourself. You have that information, so you don't have gaps. You're not filling in these gaps with fear. You're filling it in with knowledgeable decision making.
I like that. That's a good one. Dennis, what else you got? Dennis?
Sorry. No, I'm a boy. Hello.
Are you crying?
I need to drink some water is what I need to do, apparently. That was great. So, Doc, we talked a lot about your business and all. How do people get a hold of you to work with you? I know your business, we didn't really talk a whole lot about that, which I guess we should have more. So you have the consulting side. You help us, our own corporation, do business development. You said you also do some studies. How do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website they can go to?
I do. And it's, you know, the standard www, and it's Arety, AERETI.com. Or you can just email me direct, doc, spelled like you think it would be, DOC, dot Klodnicki, KLODNICKI, at Arety.com, AERETI. And you were asking earlier, what the heck's with the strange last name and the crazy company name, you know?
Not the strange last name. That's fine. I mean, I'm always very interested in company names and their and their icons or their
So my icon is a column.
Logo.
Logo, yeah. There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
So the icon within my company is the top of a column because it supports.
Okay.
And it provides a basis of foundation. And then arete is from the Greek, which means to fulfill your potential. But it's a very personal potential. And I don't want to get philosophical, but there's a difference between a group of persons and people. You have a relationship one-on-one with a person. You don't have a relationship with people. And so the Greek word arete means to fulfill your potential. What it really means is to be the best whatever it is you are. So for Nate Mosier to be the best Nate Mosier is to be arete. You fulfill Nate Mosier's potential. And that's what we try to do. So we've got some surveys that we've used over the decades in different arenas that we developed. And so we try and figure out what is it that you really are, and did you know that that's what you really are? And then how do you take what it is you really are and apply it to what you want to become? So where's that gap and how do you move that forward? Do you need investors? Do you need a Rolodex? Do you need a strategy plan? Do you need a business growth plan? What kinds of board of directors do you want or not want? And how does your C-suite, because at first everyone that you hire is basically in the C-suite, you know? So how are they supposed to interact with each other and what are their responsibilities? And so that's what we work on with these small companies that are as small as a couple people, less than five. Some of them are 10, 15 people that are trying to get this idea. Some of them have been successful in the commercial market and they're just trying to break into the DOD and it's completely unfamiliar to them. It's anathema to how they've ever done business. And there's a lot of requirements within the government to do things a certain way so that fairness doctrine is applied across the board. And so they find that they have to spend an inordinate amount of time and money standardizing processes and procedures and documenting. And they're not used to that much documentation because, frankly, if you've got 24 hours in a day and you're only using six for sleep, that's 18 hours for you to be able, yes, I did math out loud in public. That's 18 hours for you to work on your business. You don't want to be doing your tax forms. You don't want to be doing this. You want to work on that business, that product or that service or the customer. And we tell people you have to cut a piece of time out to document what you're doing because it's that old beer truck adage, right? You never know who's going to get hit by the beer truck. And if all of your corporate knowledge goes when you go, you've not serviced your company. A company's an entity. It's a legal entity, and it deserves your attention. It demands your attention, and you've got to take care of it so that it can take care of you and allow you to hire people so that they can fulfill some of their dreams and pay for some of the things they want to pay for using the salary that you pay them and the benefits that you provide them.
See, that's why he's got a doctorate degree. He's like deep in philosophically. He said it wasn't going to get philosophical, but there he goes.
I'm laughing. I just want you guys to know that I'm laughing real hard inside because I just saw an Arnold Schwarzenegger little clip that he's talking about. You have 24 hours in a day. You must use those 24 hours. You sleep 6 hours. You have 18 hours to work. I know you want to sleep 8 hours. Sleep faster.
I have seen that one before.
You have to send me that link because now I'm going to have to either figure out whether I've seen it before or not. You know,
I don't really have any other questions.
No, this is great, Doc. Thank you for coming on. And,
oh,
and
my
again,
pleasure.
You have to, Doc, you have to say the website again because my headphones are a little fuzzy. Arete, right?
Right. www. Yeah, A-E-R-E-T-I.
.com.
Yes. So Doc is awesome. He's worked a lot with our company. So highly recommend him.
Thank you.
For a consultant and or a subcontractor or a prime.
Yeah.
So after that, so are you a veteran-owned small business?
We are. We are a veteran-owned small business.
Okay. Any other?
No. My wife is a part-time employee and on the board, but we thought that it's too much of a stretch to go after that woman owned because frankly, I like her being a wife and mom more than being
running
a business.
And the government's so really cracked down on that too.
And they should. They should. These advantage programs are designed for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can have that conversation on another podcast about, you know, what really is being touted and what's really happening. And it's right and righteous that it this is all, like I said, the government is trying to make the playing field level and fair. Yep. And they recognize that that means that you're going to lose both ends in one sense at times, but if you can keep it fair, you can still grow a company through that whole process to be way beyond what the government was ever expecting and what a company was ever expecting. And there's lots of examples of that. There's an equal number, if not more, of companies that just don't make it. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it because your family situation changes. Some of it's because you're a blacksmith and all of a sudden no one needs blacksmiths.
However, I got thinking about it as you said that. That might be a good thing to learn, blacksmithing, because someday it might come back.
Well, right? Yeah, but so for me, 1971 Chevy Nova, right? My parents bought a brand new Chevy Nova in 1971. For those of you out there, that was ancient history. And right as you open the door, right on the stoop, there was this little symbol that said Body by Fisher, but it was a horse carriage. And I asked my dad, my dad was born in Hamtramck, which is inside of Detroit. It's Polk Town, USA, right? And I said, what is this? And he says, well, Fisher used to make horse carriages. And, you know, the car was called the horseless carriage. And so they just changed their business model. Yeah. And they start, and he said, one of your uncles did X, another one of your uncles did Y. And, you know, so I'm like, I didn't know that. I had uncles who were building horseless car carriages, you know. But you do, you just have to. You have to see whether or not the product or service you're providing is still value add. And if not, while you're still in business, figure out what you need to change.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Doc.
Thanks, Nate.
And we'll have more meetings coming up here for
definitely.
Stuff that we're doing together.
Yeah.
But for those of you that out there wants to work with somebody that can help you get that next win, definitely email and get on Doc's website and, tell them that the small sent you.
Yeah, definitely. I love working with that group. We've done a couple things with NDIA and the smalls, and I'm going to mention this too. Is 3 months ago maybe, where we had Senator Hickenlooper from Colorado, who's on the Senate Small Business, yep. And Congressman Crow, who's on the House Small Business, and that was co-sponsored by NDIA and the smalls, and it was a phenomenal event. Not because of who sponsored it, but because together we went out and told people, this is a high value thing. You want to understand how businesses are being supported in the political realm. And we had great conversations with both of our representative and our senator. And we have plans to do another one in a couple months. So I need to get with you guys again and see how willing you are to sponsor that. But first we got to get through NDIA Space Warfighter Industry Forum, or SWIFT, that's this week. Then we have the Rocky next Mountain week. Ball. Yeah, coming up next okay. week. Yeah, sorry. And then the Rocky Mountain Ball is in 8 days. 20th. Yeah.
Yep.
Rocky Mountain Ball is yep. on the 20th. And then Space Symposium. And then, you know, kids are going to school as well. And then we'll have...
And then hunting season starts.
Hunting season and Labor Day, you know. So we'll have to get together after that 3-day weekend.
We will. Okay, Dennis, we're going to let you go because you have to go pack your luggage so you can get on a plane tomorrow morning. Doc needs to get outside, get some more sun. He's in here literally in like a Hawaiian outfit. I don't know. He's wearing some nice Olokais. I like his
outfit. I love those shoes.
Slippers. So, Doc, thanks again. And Dennis, thanks. And have a safe trip back. And we'll see everybody next week.
Roger that.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.